Well, friends, sometimes we forget, I think, just how incredible the story of Jesus' birth sounds. I'm not saying that it happened quite like we've just seen, but thank you very much to Alice and Tim for suggesting. But what we have just heard from the Bible is not an exaggeration, but it is a summary of Dr. Luke's account as he paints for us the factual details of how Jesus' birth came about, written at the beginning of his gospel. And yes, God's visit to earth began with no attendants present, probably more animal than human witnesses. Indeed, there would have probably been more witnesses around the birth of my two sons than the birth of the Saviour of the world. Certainly, Jesus was not born in a delivery suite with a midwife and a nurse on hand. At Jesus' birth, a mule could have easily stepped on him. And yet, this is the birth of a king. The King of Kings, no less. Born, that's right, in an animal shelter, if we assume the manger. That's where the manger was. Of course, when Kate and William's first baby, George, was born, it was front page news everywhere, wasn't it? There was the best medical care on offer. There was a team of doctors. There were midwives on hand. And when baby George grows up and eventually becomes king, if we still have a monarchy in 60 years' time, no doubt he'll be afforded the same luxuries as our current queen, who on her last trip to the US took no less than 2,000 kilograms of luggage with her, including two outfits for every occasion, a mourning suit in case someone dies, and 40 pints of blood plasma, as well as white leather toilet seat covers. Contrast that with the humble settings of baby Jesus, the king who we are celebrating. And here, 9 months earlier, in some sleepy Galilean backwater called Nazareth, that nobody had heard of, a lowly girl, possibly no more than 14 years old, is told in verse 29 to 33 of our passage, the news that she will be the mother, not just to the king, but as we heard, to the Son of the Most High, God's anointed king. That is, the Messiah. How silently the wondrous gift is given. And after 1,000 years of expectation, now verses 35 to 37, the angel Gabriel proclaims that this Jesus, who will reign over Israel and whose kingdom will never end, this Jesus, the promised Messiah of Israel, who will save them from their sins, this Jesus, Son of the Most High, will enter Mary's womb. Jesus joins Mary's family. Jesus joins Mary's family. What? God's anointed king entering Mary's womb. Well, it's actually even more shocking than that. If the language of our passage, verse 29 to 33, shows us that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, certainly the virgin birth, verse 35, is an argument for his divinity. Yes, that's right. God himself in Mary's womb. Emmanuel, God with us. But that's scandalous. That is incomprehensible. That's impossible. The creator entering his creation. It's like an artist somehow becoming a spot on his own painting. It's like Beyoncé queuing up for a ticket for her own concert. It's a headmaster giving himself a detention. It's the landlord becoming the lodger. It's what we call the incarnation. Jesus, who has forever existed, becomes flesh. God becomes man. You see, we hear a lot today, don't we? Muslims tell us all the time that God is great, But that's a truth that needs no divine being to teach us. But that God is little, that God is weak, that God is small, well, that is the truth that we learn from Jesus, that for the first few months of his life, we presume that God could not speak or eat solid food or control his bladder, as he depended on a teenage couple for shelter, for love, for food. What kind of God is that? The writer Philip Yancey, he tells the story of how a friend of his was using a can you guess game to help her 6-year-old boy learn about different animals. And when it came to the boy's turn, he said, "Okay, I'm thinking of an animal. It's a mammal. He's big and he does magic." And his mother thought for a moment and then said, "Oh, I don't know, I give up." And the boy said triumphantly, "It's Jesus." Well, the answer seemed quite irreverent at the time, but the mother, she reflected upon this and she realised that her 6-year-old son had hit upon something unsettling but insightful into the depths of the incarnation. Jesus as a mammal. But it's true. He really was God, but he really was our flesh too. He was warm-blooded. He would have sweated. He would have cried. He would have had body odour, just like the rest of us. Or just like us guys, perhaps. Jesus was a real human being born into Mary's family. And yet he was God. Yet he was God. For those of you here who are parents, maybe you've had the experience of little Ethan, little Jed, little Johnny asking you, "Mummy, Daddy, where did I come from?" And you sort of treat the question of sexual relations as taboo, and you say, it's kind of hard to explain. Where did you come from? Well, it's complicated. And after going red in the face and digressing towards the birds and the bees and the storks, you finally say, "Go and ask Daddy, or go and ask Mummy." And little Johnny says, "Oh, well, Sarah says she comes from Charlton Kings. I was just wondering where I come from." And I wonder if Jesus ever asked his mother Mary, "Mother, where did I come from?" And Mary would reply, "My son, your origins are from of old. You were conceived by the Holy Spirit." "Oh, is that right, Mother?" Friends, if Jesus is God, and if God can do anything, then there's no reason to be embarrassed by the idea of the virgin birth. I challenge you this Christmas time, if you've never done it before, to consider the divinity of Jesus. That's the claim of the incarnation. If the Bible is your authority, and I'll be very glad to chat to anyone about why we can trust the Bible after. If the Bible's right, all we can say is that Christmas is indeed a miracle that only God can perform. The miracle of the God-man coming to earth, born of a virgin. Jesus was born supernaturally into Mary's family. So maybe there are one or two people here this evening and you're not yet sure if you are a Christian. If that is you, you have to decide what you do with this claim of Christmas that Jesus is God, that Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that God is in Mary's womb. Do you believe that, or do you reject it outright? Or do you investigate it further? But if Jesus is God, then the miracle birth is not so far-fetched after all. It is a sign for us to believe. The writer C.S. Lewis defines miracles as the supernatural interfering with the natural, the fingerprints of God. He says, "Miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see." Each of us here owes it to ourselves to consider these miraculous claims that the Bible makes about Jesus' birth. So the first idea from these verses in Luke 1 is that Jesus joins Mary's family. But the second heading, second idea is this. Similarly, Mary joins Jesus' family. Jesus came down to establish his never-ending kingdom. To start, as it were, a new family for those who would live under his rule, who would live under his reign. Now, I don't know about you, but we all have different experiences of family, don't we? Different experiences of family Christmases. But I want you to just discuss for 1 minute, maybe in groups, on your tables or where you're sat, what you think makes for the best family Christmas. Could be traditions, could be activities, could be people. What makes for the best family Christmas? And after 1 minute, I'll ask for some suggestions. What makes for the best family Christmas? Off we go. We'll come back in 1 minute. Okay, I think that was about 1 minute. Don't have to have particularly theological answers. What makes for the best family Christmas? Anyone over this side of the room want to shout something out? Don't all shout at once. Other people. Could be. Different people. Church family, other people.
Board games.
Such as?
Carcassonne.
Risk. Oh, there, now you're talking. Does that make for the best family Christmas or arguments? Don's got something.
When the whole family are celebrating the birth of Christ with faith.
Right. No one's going to argue with that. Any other thoughts as we move over to the side of the room? What makes for the best family Christmas?
Peace, joy,
and peace, joy, and goodwill to everybody. Mm. And thinking about these things. Any other from anyone else in the room? No, well, there's some really, really good answers there. If you think of all the things that are great about family Christmases, excluding all the things that you said about God, I want you to multiply that by 100, and you still won't get close to the greatness of what the Bible says about the best family Christmas. We think of family, we think of one another, we think of Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, as we saw in our video, or from our Cliff Richard records. But certainly, coming into Jesus' family, being part of Jesus' family, is the best Christmas family time you can possibly have. Because at Christmas time, the implication of God becoming flesh and coming to us as a baby is that we are each invited, each of us here, every person here is invited to be part of Jesus' family. That is, to live with Jesus as the spiritual head of our family. And Jesus' family is the best family there is. In our passage, though Jesus joins Mary's family, spiritually speaking, Mary also joins Jesus' family. Because Mary hears God's word and she puts it into practice. She believes God. And she starts to follow him. And the angel replies to her, back in verse 38. She replies to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Openness to God. Making yourself willing and wanting to do whatever God wants. Mary believed the angel and said, literally, "I am the Lord's slave. May the Lord use me as he sees fit." All we need to do is learn from Mary's humble faith. And that means sometimes just to say, "God, I'm just a pawn on a chessboard. I'm part of your bigger plan. It's not all about what I want. It's about what you want. It's about how to align my priorities to your priorities, to be part of your family." Maybe for someone here this evening who is still wondering about what faith in Jesus means. God is saying to you, that faith requires humility. It's not all about you. Now, humility does not mean a naivety, but it does mean a faith that doesn't know all of the answers. In verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Did Mary have it all worked out? No. Could Mary explain all that was happening? No. Was her faith smooth and happy and trouble-free? No. Could she explain how the creator of the world could be in her womb? No. Nobody can. So Mary's faith was a questioning faith, but it was not a doubting faith. So if you're here and you have still got questions, great. That's to be encouraged. But if that is what is stopping you coming to faith, let me say to you that ultimately what you need is not answers, because you'll always have more questions, but it's awe of who God is. And then simple, humble faith, which is a gift from God. You will never have all the answers. If you did, that would make you God, not God. In a few weeks' time, my car will be MOT'd. Now, if you asked me to explain everything that goes on underneath the bonnet, I wouldn't be able to tell you everything, certainly. I've only got a basic idea. But that doesn't stop me from having complete faith that when I push the accelerator, the car will go faster. But I don't have all the answers as to why. And in some ways, it's the same with faith in God. What we need is awe and faith in him, and not necessarily all of the answers. So will we, like Mary, willingly become part of Jesus' family, to put our trust in God and his will, though we don't have all the answers? In that way, we should be like Mary. But as a little aside, remember too that Mary is honoured only because she is Mary, the mother of Jesus, just as Barack Obama's parents will always be known as Barack Obama's parents. Their identity is with reference to their son. Jesus is the important one, not Mary. So let's, appropriately for Christmas, wrap up. Some of us here this evening might have lost a sense of the wonder, a sense of the amazement of the God of the universe being in Mary's womb. Others of you might not believe in it at all. But Luke's gospel, it tests our perceptions, doesn't it? And it astounds us with the news of the virgin birth and then challenges us to respond. It challenged Mary to respond in faith and embrace humility. That's what she did. Is it what we will do? Maybe some of us need to stop trying to know everything before we believe, and simply to put our trust in this God-man who came to earth. Not to stay in an animal shelter, but 33 years later, to die on the cross, taking the punishment for your sin upon himself. Dying, rising again, defeating death, defeating sin, forgiving you, saving you from the punishment due you, saving you from sin, forgiving you. That's what God invites you to this evening, to become part of his family, being forgiven of your sins, saving you for an eternity with him, to glorify him and be part of his family. If you would not yet call yourself a Christian and you're interested to find out more, we do have many books at the back. I think we've got one here. Probably fell out. There we go. They don't got one on the table? Fine. Oh, there we go. They're dotted around the room. We should have a treasure hunt. These are great little books. How to Have a Happy Christmas, a Truly Happy Christmas. There's a pile of them at the back. If you're not yet a Christian and you'd like to find out more, do please take one of these and just spend 15 minutes over Christmas time reading through, maybe over a cup of mulled wine or something like that, thinking about what it means to truly put your faith in Jesus and to be part of Jesus's family. For others here, maybe God is asking you to recognise that we are part of his bigger plan. And that it's not about you, but it's about his plan for his world. It's about his plan for your life, which is how we can fit into his plan for his world. Is that you this evening? Well, how do we respond to this? How do we respond? Do spend time, please do spend time this Christmas considering these things. That Jesus joined Mary's family, that Mary joined Jesus' family.